Ramsey TV.
All right, this next series of talks might not be much fun, but a lot of people want me to talk about this, but I don't do it for that reason. As you know, I did an entire series on the book of Revelation, the unveiling of Jesus Christ. Did that, took me 3.5 years, started in 2014. Anyway, I think that it would be irresponsible for any teacher, even a teacher of the body of Christ, to ignore the fact that we are living in the times prophesied by John. Paul told the saints in Thessalonica, after describing to them how the body of Christ, those living, would be snatched away at the coming of the Lord. He said, comfort one another with these words. We are now 2,000 years later, and there are many signs telling us that these are the final years of Millennium 6, or as I plan on calling this mini-series, the End of Times. Remember, several years ago, the Mayan calendar predicted that the world would end. I don't remember what year that was. It doesn't matter. But many people's idea of the world ending is that everything goes black. The collective memory of the world's inhabitants is wiped out. Nothing's left. A void descends that never leaves. But this is not God's Aeonian plan. God's Aeonian plan sees one period of time ending and another period of time beginning. When I speak of the end of times, I'm speaking of the end of certain periods of times that will give way to another period or other periods of times. Need to set that out straight from the beginning. It's the end of one thing and the beginning of another thing. Why we should all be interested in this, well, why I'm interested in it, and if you're interested in it, you'll be listening. If you're not, you won't. That's fine. Is that I want the good eons to begin. We are at the crux. We are at the fulcrum point, the tipping point, if you will, of the Aeonian times, in that the first three eons are relatively evil and wicked eons, and the last two eons are the eons in which God gets glory. To God be glory for the eons of the eons. Amen. The eons of the eons are the last two eons compared to the other eons, just like the holies of the holies are the two holy places, the sanctuary and the holy of holies that were holier than the other places. It's a comparative structure that you miss in the common versions where they say forever and ever. Poor translation, but you're going to miss all this beauty from those translations. The concordance says the eon of the eons, the eon of the eon, and the eons of the eons. Very particular language in the Greek. And so we are at the crisis point where wicked eons are about to turn into good eons. And so I'm very interested in this. So I'm not going to teach on this as I have before because I think people are interested in it. No, I'm interested in it. And this is MZTV, and the MZ stands for Martin Zender. So this is what I want to talk about. But if I didn't think it was interesting to anybody, I still might do it. But I know that many of you are interested in this topic. I don't see how you can't be, because we're living in the times prophesied by John. I'll start by saying this. Could I be wrong? Well, concerning anything that is not explicitly written in Scripture, yes, I could be wrong. Scripture doesn't say that the year 2021 will be 7 years before the coming of the kingdom. The book of Revelation does not mention any particular political figure by name. Mentions the beast. I'm going to tell you about what that is. But I see political situations meshing to the point where everything I've believed about the end of times, the final years of Millennium 6, is coming to pass. I haven't changed my mind. I'm convinced that this is it. The global political situation fits it, and the times fits it. If you don't know what I mean by the final years of Millennium 6, if you want to catch up with that, go to my homepage, martinzender.com, scroll down. You'll see I did a thing called the Revelation series. Don't worry, it's only 800 shows. If you start binge watching now, you might catch up before the snatching away. I hope you don't. But you'll see a subset of shows I did called the final years of Millennium 6. Maybe it was 80 shows, maybe it was 100, maybe it was 50, I don't know. But it's interesting stuff. And it will give you the reasons why I think and others think that the kingdom for Israel, the fabled millennium, will begin in the year 2028. There's a reason for that. It's not just an arbitrary year pulled out of a hat at random. No. There's math behind it. There's scripture behind it. Back in 2017, I spoke on the constellation mentioned in Revelation, what is it, 12, that I believe occurred on September 23rd, 2017. I think that was a signpost that the end of times was starting in earnest. And as John says at the beginning of the unveiling, these things would happen swiftly. Swiftly. In other words, when the events belonging to the end of Aeon 3, we're in Aeon 3, when those series of events started, they would come in rapid succession. And I've told you many times about how life has gotten more complicated, 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 but the pressure started at the Industrial Revolution in the early 1800s. And since the beginning of the 1900s, the 20th century, we've seen so many increases in every aspect of life: information, technology, destructive power, complexity, that it's exponential. In other words, each day almost doubles. Each day almost doubles the complexity, the information, the turmoil. We're living in unprecedented times. Some people think we're not. There's no help for those people. So I'm not talking to those people. I'm talking to the people. I'm not talking to the people who have been boiling like a frog in the pot and don't see anything different about these days. I'm talking to the people with eyes and ears open who are paying attention, who know that we are in unprecedented times, that we are in the times predicted by Paul, 2 Timothy chapter 3. In the last days, perilous periods will be present. These days are perilous compared to the times of Paul. We think the times of Paul, oh, where they were terrible, such persecution, such horror, back in the days of Nero. Back in the days when men like Caiaphas were in charge of the Israel priesthood. No, these days are perilous compared to those days. I had a disaster with my old microphone this morning. It snapped. The plastic snapped off the attachment. It's unusable anymore because of one little plastic thing. So I brought out the... how interesting God had that happen this morning at 5:30 in the morning, 5:15 in the morning. And now I'm bringing back the microphone that I used for the entire Revelation series, which I started in Sao Paulo, Brazil. That's just a minor thing here, but it's probably relevant. I hope the sound's coming across okay. I did a few experiments. The setup this morning was unbelievably complex, especially for a simple man like me. I don't know how many days I'm going to be doing this. I would love to do it in one day. I seriously would. I would love to just sit back and relax and go through all my notes that I've made on this topic and do a two-hour talk like I did a few weeks ago on the adultery in the body of Christ situation. This is much more important, but I'm tempted to do that. The only reason I hesitate is because some people will look at a two-hour video, they'll throw up their hands and say, my God, I can't invest the time to watch this. So I'm going to keep these videos relatively short. Sometimes that doesn't work either because people see a series and they think, oh, a series, oh, I have to keep up with every one of these, like the Revelation series, 800 shows. So somebody tuned in, somebody says, you know, to somebody else, you need to watch this Martin Zender guy's really doing some amazing things on YouTube. So the people go and they see Revelation series number 622 and they think, oh my God, it's like coming in on a TV series, late in the series. You say, well, I can't. Starting in the middle of the season here, I'm not going to bother with it. I'll wait till it comes out on Netflix. Well, my stuff isn't going to come out on Netflix. It should, but it won't. So I'm going to keep, the answer to this is I'm going to keep this a short series, hopefully. Maybe three shows, maybe four. I guess this is introductory. You have to excuse me for what I'm about to say, but this sounds mean. But at the end of this series, I'm going to announce to you the name of a political figure that I think is going to soon die. Not be killed, but die. And it's going to change the whole political landscape, and it's going to hurry things along. But I'm going to hold the name of that person back until the last show. Yes, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It's a bit of a technique. It's a bit of a soap opera technique to get people to follow this, to tune in. Again, because Scripture doesn't state certain things, much of what I'm going to tell you is conjecture on my part. I'll say that right now. But having said that, I will say this too, that an hypothesis is an educated guess. Well, I'm more than guessing. I'm basing what I'm going to be telling you on scriptural precedent, on numbers, which are important to God, on current events and recently current events, and the gift God gave me of being able to put puzzle pieces together and give you a landscape, and also the gift God has given me to simplify complex things because I have to understand them in a simple way before I can pass them on to you. I'm going to have to talk about politics. But I'm not doing that to, I won't be doing that to push my politics onto you or even necessarily to say, well, one political ideology is better than another, even though that should be self-evident. I'm saying these things because of how they play into the scenario, the landscape of the ends of times, the end of this time, and the beginning of the next time. That's why I'm doing it. It's important because, as I've reminded you many times, the book of Revelation concerns two things, religion and politics. The first part of Revelation up to chapter 11, verse 25, concerns the political fortunes of the earth, the kings. The second half of the book of Revelation concerns the the religious aspect, the priests. And at the end, we see an illicit, mating between religion and politics, a merger, an unholy merger predicted by John, seen by John, of a whore riding on the back of a beast. The whore is the Christian religion. The beast is the world system. And we see something happening on the political scene today concerning CV19er, that is causing the kings of the earth and those who want to be kings, that is, I should say, inflaming in them something that is latent in them, and that is to control other people, i.e. to control the world. I know this sounds so conspiratorial and Dr. Evilish, but I remind you of a gentleman called Adolf Hitler who wanted to control the world. Unfortunately for Dolph, back in those days, it was ugly. You had to have tanks. You had to have big guns. You had to have airplanes. These days, you don't need that. It's much cleaner to control the world today. It has nothing to do with international boundaries. It has to do with controlling the money. And there's only very few people on this planet that control the money. But the ones that do can make things happen, because they can buy political figures. And every man has their price, so they say. For those who lust after money, they have their price, and they can be moved and manipulated by it. So those who have the money pull the strings, and there are very few people, surprisingly small amount of people, who control the money of this earth. I don't think I'm going to get into the image of Daniel. Chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar's image. I've done that before, but we know the fourth world kingdom is coming to the earth. There have been three world kingdoms prior, and I mean world kingdoms, not talking about the Roman Empire, because it was never a world kingdom. Wanted to be, said it was, but in all practicality was not. The Babylonian Empire, headed by Nebuchadnezzar, capital Babylon. The Medo-Persian Empire, another world power, I mean literally, the third world power. The Grecian Empire, headed by Alexander the Great, capital Babylon. I'm going to tell you something about Babylon too. I don't even have this in my notes, that we're probably shock you, but when you hear it, you'll think, oh my God, that makes sense. Because it seems to me the one thing standing in the way of these last years being the last years of Eon 3 is where's Babylon? Well, I got something to tell you about Babylon that maybe you've never heard, but that I think is quite possible. Again, I want you to discern these things for yourself. Don't just believe something because I tell you. Look at my reasons. Look at the scripture. And remember, I'm not in love with the world's politics. I hate it. I hate them. I hate the system. I'm looking for a savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, to descend from heaven with a shout of command, with the voice of the chief messenger. I'm looking for my body to be made immortal. That's what I want. And if I, by the wisdom of God, the ability to put things together, if I look at the landscape of the earth, not the physical, but the political, and I see things happening, I'd be negligent not to tell you about it. But the reason I'm telling you this specifically is because, again, I'm not pushing my politics. I'm going to describe to you what politics exists, why they're different, what certain political parties are doing, what others are doing in contrast, what God has to say about it, where it's going, who the political movers and shakers are, who owns the money, and which political figure will die, I think, soon, that will change everything. Coming up on MCTV.